So I'd like to call the meeting to order and respectfully acknowledge the Qualicum First Nation on whose traditional territory this meeting takes place. Thank you for coming out. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope your summer has been a good one. We are winding down. Wildfires are still an issue, which is tough on all of us, but I'm sure we will persevere. First item of business is to adoption of the minutes. The motion before the board is that the board approve the June 17th, 2025 regular open session minutes as circulated. Is there any discussion?
Is there a mover?
Is there a mover of this motion? Thank you, Diane. Thank you. Any discussion? Seeing none?
Seconder?
I'll second.
I'm just doing this on purpose to make sure you guys are still alert, eh? Because I'm quite sharp. I just want to make sure my team is right behind me. Seconder?
Yeah.
Excellent. So we'll call for the question then. All those in favor of the adoption of the minutes, please raise your hands. That's carried unanimously. C is items coming out of closed session. The motion before us is that the board receive the following motions from an in-camera meeting. It was moved by Trustee Coe and seconded by Trustee Kuhn. And this motion reads that the board receive the correspondence from Rodway and Perry regarding discharge of the right-of-way F95738 under registration number CB2022-109 over Lot 1, Plan 31-751. Do I have a mover of that motion? Or it's actually already been moved and seconded.
We need a motion.
So we need a motion to receive it. Thank you, Christo. And someone to second? Thanks, Craig. Any discussion, please? Seeing none, we'll call for the question. All those in favor, please raise your hands. Carried unanimously. So do we move forward here with the moved and seconded the next motion that the previous motion be released in an open meeting?
I think that one's fine.
That is, that's done? Okay, thank you. Tonight, introduction of late items, item D. Do we have some late items tonight? Ladies first, please. Suzanne.
I'd like to ask the administrator when we get to it on the agenda about a development permit that I saw posted for residences for the farm. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to know if we've been approached by the regional districts in that regard.
Okay. John, or Janine, did you get that down all right?
Yeah, development permit.
Yeah, where should we put that in our new business? Yes, that's a good new business. Craig.
Wells 1 and 3, confined space entry, bunker modification. We've had a loose quote to how much that would cost, but I think we better run this past BHAW in case we need some sort of permit or permit exemption from them.
What does that fall under? New business or other?
I put under late items.
But
yeah, then it starts at late and then we'll put it under
Old business.
I'd say old business because we have discussed. Is that fine with you, Craig?
Okay.
Under old business.
E. Maybe E. Yeah.
Business. Okay. Under E. And one goes to new business.
Sorry, what's the topic again?
Wells 1 and 3 confined space. Well bunker modification.
Okay. Any other late items this time? Seeing none, we'll move to bullet E, business arising from the minutes and unfinished business.
Excuse me, do we have to
Oh, we do.
Any items coming in or accept them?
Oh, that's.
Probably to start, we should amend the motion or the agenda to reflect those. But it's really up to the board.
I'll just make a motion that we accept the two late items as part of the agenda.
Second.
Second, good, okay. Moved and seconded that we accept the late items as presented. Call for the question. Yes, all those in favor, please raise your hands. Thank you. Carried and so ordered unanimously.
So I guess the bunker one then, because we said it'd be old business, so we treated it as unfinished business. I guess that one would be up for discussion right now.
Right now, yeah. Sounds good. Makes sense?
Yep.
So the business arising, we've moved wells 1 and 3 confined space bunker modification. Craig, you please open up with discussion if you like.
Yeah, we should clarify with BIA in case we need their okie dokie, because we are changing the entry to that. Not that that's their concern, but because we're putting a door into a well, a potable well area, that you know they might have some concerns.
Yeah, no, that definitely makes sense.
So I can reach out to them, or John can reach out to them.
I can certainly reach out to them, but are there any other questions that you want to ask of them at the time? And then in that case, it would make sense if you contacted them.
Okay, I can contact them.
Thanks, Greg. Yeah, because
but it's up to you if you want to do it here, or do it together, or you just handle it.
Okay.
You've been great about notifying everyone after you talk to the applicable people, so that's the main thing. And Adam may have a comment on this too. I'm not sure he's on the phone if you think he might have anything.
Yeah.
Like you might need development permits.
Suzanne, yeah.
Do we want to ask Adam then, or?
He's got us on mute, so he can hear everything we're saying.
Okay. Adam, you there?
Yeah, I can hear. I can hear a part of that conversation. Talking about the bunker wells. What is the question specifically to me? Is what kind of permitting, construction permitting might be needed? Is that the question?
Yes, and if you've ever come across this in experience with your contact with BIA or another water district, for us to put a doorway into the end of the concrete bunker, would we have to get BIA involved as far as an approval? We're not touching the well, we're not touching the piping.
No, I understand that, and so I think it's unlikely that they're going to want to have anything to do with it, but it is prudent to ask them about it. So once we have a proposal to, a plan of some kind, and I can kind of relay that message to our health officer. I imagine she's going to say that sounds great, but I think it would be smart for us to at least keep her in the loop of that.
All right, I'll prepare the information and I'll send it to you. Then you can send it to them. All right, thanks.
Thanks, Greg.
In that respect, that we want Adam, we're directing Adam to.
Yeah, if you want to get a motion on the book, sure. Come up with a motion. Mm-hmm.
So the motion is I will prepare a proposal and Adam will send it to the health officer at BIA to see if they have any concerns or if they need to have some input to it before we
any permitting
proceed. Yeah,
something to do with permitting in there.
Yeah.
Take your time and just
any concerns or requirements,
and this is all going to be in conjunction with drawings being drawn up as to what we're going to be able to do with the engineers, right?
Don't need any drawings.
No.
Don't need an engineer either.
No.
Cutting out on the wall.
Yeah.
Pretty straightforward, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. We'll give them the measurements, so photo. No, we don't need an engineer involved.
You just send them a picture, say, cutting on this end of the wall.
Okay. Yeah. But the cost will have to come to the board for approval.
Yeah.
We haven't got that totally figured out yet.
Yeah.
All
right.
Yeah. No.
Could the RDA?
Can I?
Yeah, come on in, Adam.
With one one more thing there. Where I tend to agree that we probably are not going to need engineer's approval, I would maybe suggest that we come up with the plan and just run it past Orca Safety or you know, if we're continuing to use them for this confined space stuff, just to 100% confirm that doing this work is going to alleviate the issue of confined space. He did sort of say that, yeah, something like that would certainly work. I would just want to definitely confirm with him that the work being done is actually going to do the effect that we want.
It was a suggestion from Jason Hinson from Orca Safety that put a door in
that eliminates it, yeah.
A certain minimum dimensions, and now it is not considered a confined space.
Yeah. So I would think that it'd be nice to have something. That was a suggestion from him. I would think it would be nice to have something either in writing or a confirmation of some kind.
And I could follow.
Sorry.
No, go ahead, Crystal.
Just to mention, if you're contacting VR to say that it was their recommendation to do that.
Yeah.
That it was all their recommendation to go ahead and do this.
Yeah.
And if you like, I'll reach out to Jason and tell him we've had this discussion, and is there anything further that we need from him? I could do that and report back.
I will. Yeah. I will reach out to him.
You want to? Yeah. Okay, cool.
I'll do it.
Okay, great.
Did we not get anything in writing from Orca? No?
Not about that.
Okay.
No. It was a suggestion of how to modify it so it's no longer a confined space.
A discussion.
Yeah.
Nothing.
In a field, okay. Basically. He actually came up and looked at him. So I'll look after that.
Okay. Are you comfortable with the motion?
Yes.
And if you will, could you read it back to the board?
So the motion is that the board ask Craig to prepare a proposal and ask Adam to connect with the health officer at VHA to see if there are any permit requirements.
Right. Okay.
Comfortable?
Mm-hmm.
Comfortable?
Regarding confined space as well as 1 and 3.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are we not going to say anything about Orca in there?
If I will contact Orca and would ask him if he would just maybe send an email that, yes, that was the discussion we had a few months ago. That was my recommendation, and we would just include that to be on.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, just get to say that would eliminate the confined space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
So that was moved by Suzanne. We have a seconder?
Yeah, seconder.
Crystal? One more time when you're ready, Janine, okay. Just so that everyone's comfortable that it's worded correctly.
That the board ask Craig to prepare a proposal and ask Adam to connect with the health officer at VHA to see if there are any permit requirements regarding confined space wells number 1 and 3.
You have to include cutting a door into it, I think. Cutting a door into the well.
Well,
confined
space.
Oh,
okay.
We're dealing with confined space, so
okay.
That's going to be part of
our
thing. We don't have to get detailed. It's just
a motion.
Okay.
Comfortable?
You're good? Yep.
Yeah. Further discussion? Seeing no hands, we'll call for the question. All those in favor of the motion before you, please raise your hands. Carried unanimously. Okay. Petitions and non-correspondence. Field inspection report regarding the pressure-reducing valves from Ridgeline Mechanical Limited. The recommendation is that the July 16th, 2025 field inspection report be received for information. In addition, the board may consider directing specific action regarding the recommendations in the report. I would like to open that up for discussion.
So in his report, he's noted that the 6-inch PRV is a high priority. They weren't in the best of shape. I think parts
were
tenuous because of the age of them. And because that 6 inches, the the large of the three, that's the one that's going to get called on if there was ever a fire down there. And we would not want to be risking that not opening up to supply hydrant. The smaller winch and a half one was not quite as critical, but again, it needs to be rebuilt. The 3-inch was in better shape. It would be discretionary whether to have them replace or refurbish that one. And I'm thinking if we've got them out for two already.
I agree.
Yeah, because it is a confined space entry.
And I don't know any history of ever been serviced in the past. If anyone know about that, John, has there been any literature that these bunkers have ever been inspected or repaired?
I do not know the answer to that.
Suzanne is up, and then Crystal.
Yeah, everything sounds reasonable. I'd just like to make a recommendation that our next step is that we send all the high, medium, and low priority items that they've identified very nicely back for a cost estimate. Yeah. And then that's our next decision.
I'm sure we're going to get there, because that's where I would go. Yeah, I'd like to get this costed out. Mm-hmm. Crystal.
That was my question too. So yeah, get it costed out, then we can decide what we need to do now.
Yeah.
Do it all over weight and...
Yeah.
And
as Craig has indicated, if the cost, it's not going to be cheap, we know that. But if they're out here and they're starting to do work and there's stuff that's not broken, but gee whiz, I'm here, I could replace it. I certainly would think that, depending on cost, of course, that we would move to have it all done in one sweep. So then we are sort of clear for some time with respect to what happens moving forward. Just my suggestion. So...
Want to add a comment. Luckily, they've already done all the WCB stuff, and they filled all the forms in, which was quite a huge cost to us. So they've already done all that. That's all in place. So now it shouldn't be much more of an issue
right.
for them to come in and do the work.
Right. Okay. So moving forward, we're going to put a motion.
Yeah.
Yes.
We sent it back to Rich Wine for estimates on all priority items. On all items of all priorities.
Okay.
Maybe add timing to their cost estimate timing when they can do it.
When they can do it?
Yeah.
Yes. And
during the summer.
Yes. And an indication.
Priority what? Priority.
All recommendations.
Recommendations.
And cost for confined space crew to do the work, perform the confined space safety work.
Well, that's what I said. They've already filled all the forms in, which was complicated, so now they already have that in place with WCD. So when they come out, they have a guy, he sets up his tripod, he hooks himself up, and he goes in. They only need two guys there. The one guy went in to check everything, and one guy standing.
Is it Ridgeline, though, that
yes.
does that?
Yeah, yes.
Oh, good. Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's
on them. That's why it cost us that much money to get them to fill all the forms and go through all the procedures.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, I thought we were doing Orca as a third
no,
party.
No,
again. Yeah,
no,
okay.
They're too costly.
Yeah. No, they were required to prepare the procedure on how you're going to do it and all the risks. Their work is done. These guys just keep you, as long as that thing stays the same, the hazard, the structure hasn't changed, then Orca was a one and then done.
Janine is just preparing the wording, and when she's ready, she'll read it back to us.
Yes, we need to make sure those are, that company recommended they be serviced each year. Because they can fail unsafe, which means the downstream pressure will be too high.
Right.
And you could end up having water main or plumbing issues.
Or there'd be an issue with not enough fire flow.
Or that.
That's another thing I mentioned.
Yeah. So.
And nearly each time they set up, they have to set up as a confined space.
Yes.
Yeah. So it is going to be a night, a yearly cost item that is significant.
This is the one that we can't really do anything to regarding the confined space,
no.
Correct?
It's, yes.
It will always be that way. So yeah, it'll be a cost on the yearly budget.
Well, we could decide every 2 years, maybe.
So on Ridgeline, then, they would do the annual or every 2 year inspection or whatever that is to come to that. Well, we should ask for them for a cost estimate on that at the same time.
I believe they gave that to Adam when they were out, and I think they were around $1,800 a year for a servicing.
And that includes the confined space component.
Yeah, it does. How are you making it?
So the motion is that the board ask Ridgeline to suggest all priority recommendations, and part of this will be a request to include the timing.
We want
to quote
according to section
on all priority recommendations that they that they have in there.
On all recommendations.
Yeah.
All, not all, okay.
Yeah, yep. Okay. Some are priority and some are not. So we can check here which ones need to be done and which one can wait if need be.
And the approximate timeline to carry out the work.
Part of the request to include a timeline. This could be tricky.
To complete this work.
I just want to add, because doing some of this work, they might have to shut that water system down. So.
Yes, it could be it.
For that broken block valve, I think they do.
Okay, got a lot of scribble here.
No, you're doing fine, just it's tough.
That the board asks Ridgeline to quote on all recommendations. Part of the request to include a timeline to complete this work.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll second that.
Thank you.
Who was the first? So it was Suzanne?
Suzanne,
yeah.
Moved by Suzanne, yeah. Seconded by Diane.
All right.
Further discussion? Seeing none, please raise your hands if you're in favor. Carried unanimous. Thank you, fellow trustees. That is a big issue. Big issue.
Item H is next.
I beg your pardon?
Item H.
Yeah, thank you. Adam, anything, I see your report was good. Anything you'd like to add if you're there with us with respect to your report? You have the floor.
Awesome, thank you. The numbers for the month as far as water consumption, they're all there. Obviously, we're still on the rise through July. The only items within my notes were pretty much covered with the CRD inspection. So there's not really much to add to that. More recent event that happened is we discovered a leak in the water system down Gatesburg and then down as you go towards the marina part there.
Chrome Point.
There's a small leak there. I inspected it. It seems to be, if you look at the area, that it's all the grass everywhere is dead, except for right underneath that. So we know that it's been leaking for quite some time. There is the option to have an excavation company come out and do it. You know, immediately they said, well, if it's an emergency, we'll make changes to our schedule and get somebody out there. I went and assessed it and did not assess it as an immediate emergency. And so it's going to be handled early next week. I don't have a date or time yet, but that is going to be handled. It's going to require a shutdown of of connections down, anything downstream of that intersection there. The details of this will be sent out in an email, and hopefully, many of those people in that area are on the email list. But yeah, the details are yet to come, but just to address it, so some of the people are seeing it and continuing to report the water leak. It is very small. It's a small trickle. You can kind of see it from the road, but not very well. But just so everybody's going to know that it's known and it's being handled, and more details will come out probably from John once we have them.
Just a quick thought. So that's probably Throne Point Road, and just to remember that the restaurant is there. So just to keep them in mind when we have a shutdown or whatever.
Yeah, there will be notice sent out by email, and then I suppose, because that's the whole marina and the restaurant
is
there.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So I'll discuss that with John and figure out the best way of delivering the message to as many of those people down there. So this will be for next week. So we'll get that handled this week, get notice out to those people.
And will we put it on the website then? When you give us any information, we would put that on our website as well.
It's Facebook as well.
Yes, I think any channel of communication that we have to reach as many people as possible would be good. So yeah, the website, the email list, Facebook, and then perhaps of those businesses that are down there, if we go and knock and just let them know in person, that might be a good way of going about it. I will be in the area tomorrow, so some of this can happen tomorrow. Hopefully, I have an answer back from the contractor tomorrow morning as to what the date and time is, and we can get right on it tomorrow.
So,
Diane?
Just a note, Ship and Shore is closed on Tuesdays. If we could make minimal impact.
Right.
That's
the restaurant.
Yeah, it closed on Tuesdays.
Tuesdays, yes.
Okay, wonderful. Okay, I will pass that message on. If Tuesday can be the day, then that's what we'll do.
Do you have at this time any potential time frame of how long we would be shutting off the water? Too soon to tell.
Yeah, unfortunately, there are too many unknowns at this point. The leak is somewhere around the isolation valve for a blow-off that's related. It's a two-inch standpipe. It's red and it's labeled as a hydrant, but it is just a two-inch blow-off. And I am able to operate the valve and open it and close it, but whether the leak is within the valve or if it's on the upstream side of the valve or the downstream side of the valve, it's either the upstream of the valve or the valve itself. So either a repair is going to have to be made or a replacement of that valve will have to be done. These are the things that we don't know. And we also don't know what that piece of equipment is down there until we excavate it and see what it is.
Okay. Suzanne?
Adam, it was my husband that reported it. Do you think it could be caused by vehicles driving over that area by any chance? Because there's a lot of...
if we dig it up and see that it's been cracked from up, from downward pressure, then we could confirm that. But it's difficult to tell at this point.
Okay, well, if you think it is, then make sure you get in touch with John, because maybe we need to put a barricade, something there, a no post.
Yeah. As you mentioned that, there were many tire tracks over top of the valve box itself, and the valve box is not encased or surrounded by the pavement. It's just off the side of the pavement. So it could be that repetitive driving over top of it is part of it. We'll know more once it's been excavated and actually put eyes on it.
Fire Chief George would like to ask you something.
Can we make sure that we get notification as to which hydrants will be out of service as well?
I couldn't hear that.
George is asking if the fire department, very importantly, could be notified as to which hydrants may be temporarily out of service when this work is to take place.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, that'll be part of the notice that'll go out tomorrow. What areas to be affected. I'll indicate which valve is going to be closed, and then all hydrants downstream of that valve will be out of service for that time.
Okay, and notify them as soon as it's back up, too.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Further questions? Anything more from your end, Adam, at this time, or are we able to let you go?
Yeah, that's everything.
Everybody's comfortable? Thank you then, Adam. Have a good evening.
Great report, Adam. Thank you.
Thanks, Adam.
You as well. Bye-bye.
So the motion before us is that the June and July 2025 water operators report be received for information. Could I have a mover of that motion? Thank you, Diane. Seconder? Thank you, Craig. Any further discussion? Seeing none, we'll call for the question. All those in favor, please raise your hands. Thank you kindly. It's carried unanimously. Number two, Fire Chief, please. Do you have anything to say before? Well, accept your report, and then I'll turn the floor over to you if you like.
I don't have anything more to add to it.
Thank you. So item two, the June and July 2025 Fire Chief's report. The motion before you is that the June and July 2025 Fire Chief's report be received for information. Is there any discussion? Suzanne, thank you. You're moving the motion? Thank you. Seconder? Thanks, Alyssa. Yeah, you beat Craig. You just got him. I was checking. Any further discussion? Seeing no hands, we'll call for the question, please. All those in favor? Carried unanimously. Thank you. The June and July 2025 financial reports. You've all had a chance to read them. The recommendation motion is that the June and July check registers be received for information. Open up for discussion. Suzanne?
Any idea why our telephone charges have gone up more than I guess was budgeted? Or are we spending $85 over budget? We got added expenses, or did we just not?
Oh, that's the check registers first, not the financials yet, right?
Sorry, you're talking about the statements.
Is that question coming up at a later time?
Sure.
Okay. So the recommendation or motion is that the June and July check registers be received for information. I'll move it then. Oh, Suzanne moved it?
Didn't you?
Thank you.
Okay.
Yep, Diane seconded it.
Okay. Yeah.
Further discussion? Sorry about that. Seeing no hands, we'll call for the question. Please raise your hands if you're in favor of this motion. Unanimous carried. Thank you. Okay. The quarterly financial reports. The recommendation motion is that the quarterly financial reports covering the period January 1st, 2025 to June the 30th, 2025 be received for information. And is that where your question comes from, Suzanne? Thank you. And the question was regarding the telephone increase costs?
Yeah.
Please.
Okay. Do we want to do the motion on the floor first, or do we do that after? Okay, so let's get a motion.
I'll move the motion.
Yeah, and I'll second it.
Here we go.
Okay, so in terms of the question, I believe the answer to that one is that you're now paying like for employees to use their personal cell phones, and it's a monthly charge, and I believe that hasn't been budgeted appropriately, so that would be adjusted for next year's budget.
Okay, great.
Thank you, John. Any further questions or discussion on that item, that motion? Seeing none, we will call for the question. All those in favor that the quarterly financial reports covering the period of January 1st, 2025 to June 30th, 2025 be received for information, please raise your hands if you're in support. That is carried unanimously.
Thank you, John, for your work.
Thank you, John. The Thompson Clark West construction project and future water line costs. A big item, yes. The motion before us is that the August 13th, 2025 staff report regarding Thompson Clark West water main project cost totaling $542,351.69 be received.
For information.
For information.
I didn't put that on the agenda, and I should have said for information. Just to be consistent.
Mm-hmm. Do we have a mover of that motion? Diane, thank you. Seconder. Christo, thank you. I open it for discussion. Please, if you'd have, please.
Okay, John? So there's been a request for the cost associated with this project for quite some time. At the annual general meeting, Craig announced that a number right in this range, 545,000 or thereabouts, and nothing's really changed from what we expected on there. I believe we're finished now, and it's at $542,351.69 for the project, net of GST. The reason I say the words I think we're finished, there still could be some minor landscaping work for things that may die off on the side of the property. I don't know. I know that's something we're looking at a month or two ago, but that would not be be significant. What I did want to report on as well, besides the cost of this project, and it really is in the future waterline replacements, is in our capital budget, and we are going to have a budget meeting fairly quickly to get into the budget again. On our capital budget, there's asbestos cement waterline replacement over the next 20 years, and it's about $11 million. That's not funded. So it's on there and it's showing as a deficit to the DBID. I've referred to it as an infrastructure deficit. So what that is stating is that we should be spending in today's dollars about $500,000 per year for AC water line replacement. I also put in there, if we don't replace it in a particular year, we should be putting money aside for it. So regardless of doing where there was some controversy on the water line that we did, regardless of that, we should be putting away approximately that amount, $500,000 per year, every year, for the next 20 years to be dealing with our AC pipeline replacements that are going to be coming up in the next 5 to 20 years. So I thought it was important to mention that we don't just go decide, oh, we need to do a water line. Yeah, we're going to need to do a water line and a lot more. That is the elephant in the room as far as I'm concerned. And it's not just here, it's in communities everywhere, in our surrounding communities, in other parts of Canada and the United States. Asbestos cement was all put in around the time that Deep Bay was built. Shortly thereafter, places went to PVC pipe, which probably lasts in the area of 30, 40, if not years longer. So we're looking at a big bill coming up, and I really want to emphasize that to the board and to the public that is something that we need to look at on the budget. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Diane, please.
Great report. Thank you for that. It was very well thought out. And just to follow up on the infrastructure deficit, I've been saying for years since I've gone on to this board that we have not been collecting enough money in order to replace the assets that we have. It has gone up substantially in the past few years. It's gone from like $157,000 a year that we collected in capital for waterworks to this year with our parcel tax is $280,000. So we're still collecting way less than what we need to be spending. So just so everybody is aware of that.
Thank you, Diane. Any other speakers?
No, just a question of the funds that we do have, they need to be allocated for water line replacement. I mean, there are certain funds that we have. How does that work?
Once again, the budget is a moving document. The money comes in, it's not allocated for any specific project. It is in the water capital fund, which would include all water capital items, depending upon what we deem are the most important pieces to get fixed first. So we have the asbestos concrete replacement program, which identified
priorities
of all of those items. There are 10, I think, on the first that are the worst. We've already done one. So our budget process is gonna be moving things around and trying to figure out how we're going to do this while still looking at the reservoir, you know, 15 years out, which is gonna be a huge cost. So it is a juggling act, and we do not have enough money. And the way we're collecting right now, we still won't have enough money. So it's gonna take a lot of juggling. So things may not get done.
Yes. Thank you, Diane. John?
Yeah, so we're trying to learn and educate ourselves on these things. And when there's a water line break or leak has occurred, that's a learning opportunity. We have to look at that condition of that pipe, and there could be some surprises there, bad surprises. There could be good surprises too. So you assess the pipe when it's when you have these leaks or repairs, and that can change your timing and priority as well. That's what I had to add.
And I'd like to add to this conversation too that we are also facing requirements that need to be done. Our confined space, our PRVs, our wells, yeah, we're going to retrofit them, but it's going to cost us money. So when Diane mentions that we are short of collecting enough money to do projects, there is several projects that are involved that are costing us quite a bit of money lately with respect to Orca safety, $16,000, $20,000 here, all this. We have a lot of future bills that we have to pay attention to on a yearly basis. So financially, we are not really in very good shape, I would suggest. Thank you.
That being said, if I could,
please,
we do have $1 million in the bank, so they're in for water capital projects. So we have done some good things here, and we've spent $546,000 on the pipeline, and we do have $1 million. Albeit, we're going to need 11 or 12 million just for water lines over the next 20 years. But $1 million is still $1 million, yeah. And that's fairly substantial.
Thank you. That's encouraging.
And that money is in an investment. And what's the estimate of what is currently earning?
In the 4% range. It just depends on when they come up for reinvestment. Some money is coming up for reinvestment. In the financial statements that are in this document, perhaps when we get into the budget, I'll go over that in more detail with the board. Okay. But on the balance sheet part, it will show the GICs and the various funds that we have and other investment documents. Because That's why I'm putting the capital funds on here now, not just the operating funds. So if you look at the assets on the various balance sheets, it's spelled right out on those documents, the investments. What is not in there is the interest rate.
And some of them were quite low. We only usually put them in for a year at a time when those funds come up. And some of them in Sundance's time that were coming up were still at 2.25%. So they've gone up, but it's based on whatever the joint bank rates are.
So, and one of the problems on that, and I was going to talk to the board about this during the budget deliberations, is how long we lock it in for. If you lock it in for a year, okay, well then you can't touch the money and you're going to get at least 1% more in the return. But if you have a major water line break or something like that, you can't get the money. So that is something that I wanted to sort of risk to discuss with the board on.
Well, just on that note, if we could look at the water system or the critical water line, say for instance from here down to the tracks, it's a critical line here. You know, look at that one and what estimated cost would be. So we have something, and then if we can get it tested somehow, just to see. So we have some way of aiming at some of the lines that need to be replaced. And what just a rough estimate would be, otherwise we don't really know.
It's over $1 million a kilometer. So for 100 meters, you're looking at 100,000. And it's probably more like 1.25 million per kilometer. That's why we have 18 kilometers of asbestos pipe for replacement. And we use, and that it's in the range of 20, 25 million. Actually, with the higher cost now, it's probably more like 1.5 million per kilometer. But back in 2022, 2021, we used a rule of thumb about $1 million per kilometer. But it's probably closer to 1.5 now.
Because the cost of everything was
going up. Yeah,
that's good. And prior to the budget, I'll get an update on that number because I'm always curious. I did talk to what's his title? Chief Executive Officer for Asset Manager BC. I asked him and he said it's well over $1 million and I just can't remember the exact
number. Okay, just
I'm in touch with him for that.
Any more discussion? Now I believe that motion is on the floor. Yes, that the August 13th report
received for information.
Be received for information. Discussion is done. No further. I call for the question. All those in favor, please raise your hands.
Did we have a mover and second?
Yes.
Okay. We did. Did we?
Yes, we did. Yes.
That's carried?
Yes.
Unanimously. Thank you all.
So we have that one item for new business.
Bylaws, resolutions. We're down to new business, and it comes back to item one.
Development permit on farm property.
Development, yes.
I didn't know about it, so I clearly have not heard about it.
Are we talking about this property yet?
I drove by the other day and I went, oh, what's that? And I stopped and I looked. I did not take a picture, however, but I did remember I thought it said 2025-017 for the development permit number, but when you go on to the RDM website right now, it's not listed yet. So I thought that was rather strange as well. So I did try to see it in there and the RDM get involved. I've got my account and I go in and I look. It's not there right now. So I don't know when it was posted. Maybe they just haven't got the papers up onto their website yet.
Well, they've got their own water system over there, but it's interesting that the RDM isn't consulted or written.
It may be new. I don't see the date in there.
Well, I've seen it. I saw it. In June.
What was the number?
It just went up on the highway.
It's not on the highway.
No, there's one on the highway where you go into their driveway on the highway. There's one posted there too. And that was not there last week.
Maybe they've been told to post it there.
Yeah.
Do we have a number again?
I thought it was 2025-17. Do you have it?
I have a picture.
Oh, perfect. So I'm going to take a picture.
Okay. So I can contact the RDN tomorrow. I phoned the RDN twice on a similar issue today, and they didn't contact me, so that'll be
a
couple items I need.
The biggest concern here is that, regardless of whether they have their own well or not, they're still taking water from our aquifer, which is going down, and the usage is going up, and they want to put 10
pads
for farm workers there.
Yeah,
we do have some concerns.
10 pads also means septic fields and stuff too, right?
Yep.
But didn't we run
presented to them before, or it doesn't matter. If it's on a private well, we can get any information.
I'm not sure if whoever lets some resources would give us any.
Yeah.
So I just read something on the website recently where they're having they're firming up the requirements on well issues related to any development that's occurring in the subdivision.
Too.
So that might be holding something up in that regard as well, because I guess they're getting a lot of feedback that you're making these approvals and we're running out of water.
They have to have a minimum so many pounds per square inch of pressure coming out of the well for so many people. I think that's the one. I saw that too.
So I'll ask about that and if that relates to this question as well. And I can report back to the board on that.
But that doesn't help us with.
Yeah. And John, I just appreciate knowing the process of a new, new development and how we are automatically included or only included if the developer says they're going to hook up to the water system.
Please.
That property is covered by Deep Bay Fire Protection. So any development that would be going on that property would have to get approval from the fire department before they go.
Yeah.
Good. Okay. Thank you, George.
Which will come through John.
Thank you.
Yeah, but the RDN needs to know that.
Well, they do. They're supposed to do that.
They're supposed to
be the process. Same with the Henry Morgan site. They've already contacted us for certain things, but they haven't put in an application yet. Right? So.
By putting in the application and referring to Henry Morgan one?
Yeah, when they finally put their application into the regional district, then we will get something from the regional district asking us if we can provide water to that area as well as fire protection. Right? They've been out there and they've surveyed it already.
Okay, so I'm not familiar with all this, so it's going to be fairly easy for me to play dumb on this one and ask them how the process works and everything like that. So I will be able to get that answer.
And Janine can
give
you an answer.
Yeah.
Just on that subject, as we're talking about that, my concern with Henry Morgan would be that the developer needs to know that they were probably going to be required to put in that loop.
What's Henry Morgan?
Stand at the end of Thompson, Clark, and then Maple Guard.
Oh, by the little park?
Yeah.
Oh, they're developing
that? Yeah,
it's all been surveyed.
Surveys are going to go ahead with it?
Well, they're designing it right now.
Yeah.
But they have to ask us about it.
Yeah.
They have to ask the fire department about it. They have to ask us about it. And I'm just putting it out there that whoever is on the board, the next go-around, needs to be cognizant of the fact that Henry Morgan Loop should be part of that development and it should be up to the contractor to put that in.
Thank you, Doug.
The feed for the subdivision? Is that what
you're there's a loop, Henry Morgan Loop, to connect between Thompson Clark. The water lines will stop at the end.
Ah. Oh, okay. So it flows through.
It's one of the projects that is actually identified in all our technical documents.
Okay. So that would change the flow then?
Yep.
That's good. You don't want dead ends. So right now there's a dead end down there then? So
interesting.
Yep.
Two dead ends.
Yeah.
Two dead ends.
Mm-hmm.
So it would.
Right.
Redundancy in the line. It's in all of the technical documents from McElhane. It's been identified for years. And it's a CEC.
Good work. So any further discussion? John, you said you will be contacting the RDN with respect to this development proposal?
Yes, and there's the Henry Morgan question, and I've been asked previously to Diane just about this process as well, because it seems that they may not be communicating with us in all cases.
Right. Which wouldn't surprise me. Doesn't surprise me, I should say.
So is there any motion now?
It probably wouldn't hurt to have something on as a motion that the administrator be directed to contact the RDN to to determine what the requirements and process is with respect to developments.
And
okay.
And specifically that public.
For sure.
Yeah.
I'll move that.
Second.
Yeah. Janine is... Yeah, John, go ahead again.
I said that
now, don't
I just winged that.
Yes.
That was nice.
That the administrator...
directed to contact
yeah.
the RDN.
Two, and that's where I got two.
to ask about the development permit...
Process.
And specifically... DBID. Gainsburg right. Road and...
Henry Road. Just the process
yeah.
itself.
Yeah. See, the RDN might think... Those guys
like,
weren't well.
Like
I'm thinking... They don't have to
smart.
They don't have to come to us. But it's the firefight. There are two layers, right?
Yeah,
and,
no, that's excellent.
And,
no, they have to. They should be. And same... this conversation came up and because... There's a house down on Thompson Clark East. That's what it is over there, right? East. Brand new house that went up last year, and all of a sudden there's a cottage going up beside it. And I went, well, we didn't see any documentation on that. So what they've done now is they've changed the bylaws of the RDN that says that you, as long as you have PERC, as long as you can get rid of your sewage, you can put two or more homes on a half acre. And somebody's got to ask us about that when they start putting in extra houses and connecting to our system. Because
mm-hmm.
our system may not be able to handle all of that.
This affects all of BC.
Yeah.
So communities, municipalities are affected as well.
Because the provincial government brought in that new bill that demanded all areas have more densification.
And is it up to the developers to pay for that water survey, volume survey? I think it is, isn't it? So if yeah.
They would have to prove that they can do that.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
And it has to be, it was specified in there the
yeah.
type of processes. It couldn't be some,
yeah.
why not just.
So yeah. because the RDN, because everybody's had to change their stuff, the RDN, of course, affects us directly, so that's what brought up this conversation. And my brain started doing this, and then 50% of our people put extra homes on their property were already over or built out.
Right, but the irony is that they can drill wells.
They can.
You know, that is a bit of an irony, isn't it?
I don't know how that works in terms of. We will have to add that to the questions that I ask.
Yeah.
They just drill a well.
Like, can you drill a well in the city of Victoria and just
no.
go on your own? So, what's the difference, right? Why? I'd like to understand that, John. Is
I think you have to apply now if you want to drill a well. But the thing is that the drilled wells have to be registered. But when I looked at those properties, they have dug wells. So if you dig a well. Put a casing in it, use the water, there's no record, they have no record at all. It says dug well, no record.
So
I researched those, but both of those properties have dug wells, as does the nursery, and so they have no record of what water is used at all.
And residential water will be a lot different than just agricultural water, right? So if they're putting pads for residences over there, they'll have to be VHA
and they'll have to be
well
tested, and they'll have
yeah.
to have a water operator, and they'll have to do a whole bunch of things.
Yeah.
It'll be a small water
yeah.
system.
No, it'll be interesting what their answers.
Yeah.
Well, just another thought, like, it's ALR land. I'm not sure if on ALR land you need to actually have a building permit, because now it becomes a provincial thing. So that might be something to ask the RDN. Because I asked Northern Courtney in Black Creek, and it was ALR land, no building permit. It doesn't fall under the CDVRB. Anyway, just another thought.
No, it's good.
I
good,
that
Crystal.
Down, you know,
yeah.
There's certainly different regulations on ALR land, and
yeah.
if it relates to this, it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
In the regional
yeah.
district of Nanaimo, I lived on agricultural land, and when I put up a 40-by-60 shop, I had to get a building permit.
Oh, yes, it may have changed. I mean,
that was 20 years ago, but
okay.
I had to.
I think some of that very vital coral area too.
Well, some places don't have building inspectors and stuff like that, so some places you just need PERC and electrical.
The Wild West of coons.
Area F.
Area F.
All right, we still have something?
Is our,
that's it. No questions.
So that was your motion.
Yes, we did vote on that.
Who was the second?
Yeah. Suzanne, that was your motion, yes?
Was it?
Yes, reading off of John. Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Melissa, you seconded?
No, I did.
Diane did.
Okay. And you just have to vote on it then.
We have to vote?
Yes.
I'm calling for the question. No further discussion? Thank you. Call for the question. All those in favor of the motion. Would you like to hear it read one more time? Carried and so ordered.
We trust in Janine.
Okay.
Yes, we do.
Listen to the recording.
Yes.
And John, you're comfortable with
yeah,
the information that we've talked about and things that are...
I think it's very pertinent. That's good.
Then we move on to question period. So I turn to the crowd and ask if you have a question, please. You are welcome to present a question, please.
I see that this in-camera stuff has been moved out. I'm just seeing, receive the correspondence. Are we going to see that correspondence from the Lord Rodway and Perry? It says we're going to receive it, but I just wonder if the public will see the correspondence.
Well, what was the wording of the resolution?
That the board received correspondence from Rodway and Perry regarding discharge of right away and under registration number. We received it.
So it didn't say to release it?
No.
I don't see a problem with releasing it, quite frankly, but that's not what the resolution stated. That's why I want to go back and look at it.
Okay.
And it's in camera, I'm not supposed to say, but it really doesn't say anything.
It's a public document.
Yeah, well, there you go.
You can go online and you can,
okay.
you can ask for it.
Land titles.
So I'm just saying it's a public document, so I wouldn't see a problem with John releasing that to anybody because it's a public document.
Right.
I'm just curious, can you give me a little summary of what it says?
It says attached is the right of way that has been released.
And that is the one that we removed the pipeline?
That's correct. Okay. And it also says enclosed is our bill, which was about $600, and there were about 3 typos on the letter.
Okay.
And other than that, that's it. It's
okay.
Like a two-paragraph.
When you read this, you go, "Oh, I wonder what that's about." That's all.
Yep.
Can I have one more question while I'm here? For John, maybe?
No, I don't see any of their hands. Go ahead.
Okay. A while ago, I can't remember who brought it up, but there was a court case that. Improvement district, somewhere in the interior, was writing a letter to the government about funds that they thought were unfairly distributed to.
Yeah,
have you heard any follow-up on that?
Trustee Cole, please.
That was a letter addressed to us from, I believe it was Caslo, and they were looking for support to start a class action suit against the province to include improvement districts in the funding formulas that are available. I don't think to this day we've heard anything back from them at all at this point in time.
Okay. I hear all this, the talk that you're, I mean, it's an issue, money is an issue. And I was hoping that maybe something like that would go coming and you would all of a sudden be a little more fair with their funding distribution, but that was just
please, anyone else with a question? Skyanne, please.
I'm just wondering, with this Henry Morgan development, I guess we don't have any say of whether there's another road in and out, because there's only one road now in and out to that whole big area. Is that anything that the water board has any say with? You know what I mean by
transportation?
That's
the
George.
That's more Ministry of Transportation.
Or the public hearing.
Yeah.
That's how you express concern.
Okay, so I could write a letter to.
Yeah. When you go, so if you go to the RDN website, they have or give Google RDN get involved. You can sign up and you can actually go and see all the development permits in the whole regional district of Nanaimo.
And once that's posted there, they ask for feedback.
Okay.
So you could write what your concerns are, and then they would review that at the time that they do the development permit.
Okay, thanks.
I was going to say, it depends whether it's a subdivision, and they would have to put roads into to highway specs, but if it's a strata, they can do whatever they want road-wise. But it's their, it's up to them then to do whatever they need.
Yeah, because there's only basically the trail going out the back.
Yeah.
Good question.
Yeah.
Good question, Sky.
Please. I think it was at the June meeting, and Trustee LeRoy brought up what I thought was a good point as far as having an emergency response plan. This was before all the fire stuff happened. And there was quite a bit of discussion about that, and I think you were quite proactive in encouraging the board to
So just to qualify, we can only do a plan for the things in our purview. So the water is our plan, and the fire department plan. But we're not. I don't think we're interface fire planning. Is that what the kind of planning you were?
Well, I just wondered what the current plan that you were going to say.
Okay. Well, we've got a water emergency plan, and it's on the list of things that needed to be reviewed. And I'd still like to see us refresh it, practice it, and then revisit the plan, because I'm sure there'll be lots of things to change once you actually do it.
And I think you said this plan had been enacted several years ago.
It's a requirement that as a water operator, there's a plan, and there's contact information, even basic things need to be updated year to year, but it's the actual exercising that I really want to do.
Yeah, call.
Yes, please.
So in addition to that, so that's the Deep Bay Improvement District, but we do pay into the function through the RDN, which is, I don't know what it's titled, emergency management or something like that. We pay fairly significant dollars towards that. And the idea of that is like an emergency through the whole region. And the municipalities have the same thing. And I tend to think that wildfire is going to be on their front burner, and that's something you may want to contact them on, and certainly we can as well. I'm curious about that particular issue as well, because it came up probably about 15 years ago when I was working at the town of Colton Beach. Wildfire was the big issue, and you got to believe it's going to be back front and center again. So you may want to contact the RDN on that question too, because it helps, get with the input to get the assessment. Even talk to our local area director.
So that's what I just want to add something about the previous question about that subdivision or whatever they're doing there. There is a road, that trail is actually a road, it's called Esri Road, and it runs from, runs all the way to Bowser, and that trail is actually a dedicated road.
So the real part of the trail is pretty narrow, weedy, and then it's
yes.
The part where it's straight.
It is a dedicated road for the maps.
Oh, it is?
Yes. Called Esri Road.
Oh. Esri?
Esri, yeah.
So the MOTI owns it?
Pardon?
MOTI owns it?
Yes.
Interesting, because when you look at the
40 years ago, I was involved with an architect who was trying to develop one of those properties, and that was his access, because the middle property there doesn't have any access, so they would put the road in from Coburn Road to the property, but it runs pretty much all the way through.
Because if you look on the RDN maps, it tells you it's all park.
It's turned into a park?
That's what it says on the RDN maps.
Well, how would that middle property have access then?
I don't know, I'm just telling you, it goes from the playground and then it goes back and it says it's all park.
Yeah. Oh.
So.
Interesting. See if it's... It's interesting to follow up if it actually is dedicated road. That would be scary.
Colin, back to the question.
Yes, please, Mr. Harrison.
On that issue of that road, Ballard's development included putting that road in. That was his call it an ace in a hole, but that's what he offered to put that road
to
in.
Put the road
connecting
in.
To DA.
Yeah, so that his development going in there, all those people had access coming off by where Tom's Market is.
Yeah.
To come that way, but that road's going to go all the way through. And, but that development is, nobody knows where that is now. But that was in the plans for that development.
If you go onto their site, it's not archived.
Well,
it's a good thing because if the
turtles were going to
happen, they say that. They were really pushing the boundaries with that, to be quite honest. Anyway.
Any further questions, please?
Motion to adjourn.
Seeing no hands, I would make a motion to adjourn. Thank you. Thank you. All those in favor, we will adjourn. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
In camera.
To the in-camera meeting.